tied together.
Yes, the world is changing. No, we can't control every event. But America remains the one indispensable nation in world affairs, and as long as I'm president, I intend to keep it that way. We will advocate for those values that have served our own country so well. We will stand against violence and intimidation. We will stand for the rights and dignity of all human beings, men and women, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Our oldest alliances in Europe and Asia are stronger than ever. Our ties to the Americas are deeper. Our ironclad commitment, and I mean ironclad, to Israel's security has meant the closest military cooperation between our two countries in history.
All right, Obama with an in-your-face sort of soft hammer speech in his last State of the Union address, at least for this term. If he is reelected or not reelected, of course, you may see the show again. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and this is where we begin. The president did what he does best, gives a speech. There were some interesting phrases in it. He got some applause, even from some of the Republicans. But it's still about jobs. It's still about the economy. Unemployment in a state like Florida, where the Republicans are campaigning right now, at least the ones who want to take his job, know that the unemployment there is 9.9%, and they're taking advantage. So three of the four Republican candidates had events in the Sunshine State just a week before the state's crucial primary, while the president was talking about his own campaign, I think, and laying it out, taking some shots at the Republicans, veiled shots, and laying the groundwork for the haves and the have-nots, for the rich people need to pay their fair share of taxes. If you make $1 million, you need to pay 30%, that kind of thing. Certainly challenging Congress on some very sticky issues. None of what he said, I think, at all was a surprise. It's campaign rhetoric in laying out what will be all of the things that the president says as he goes for that second term. And speaking of going for a second term, now that the State of the Union is out of the way, it's a three-day swing into some of the key election states after this State of the Union address talking about confronting the issue of preserving the so-called American dream, the American dream, defending policies, tax increases on the wealthy, like I said, Wall Street reform, going back to 2008, a little bit of health care reform, not so much on the health issue, the government stimulus spending, and it was interesting. What's always interesting to me with the State of the Union address is to watch it play out with the people who are sitting there in the chambers, because in a way, you know, the Oscar nominations were also announced on the left coast. So on the East Coast, you have politics. On the West Coast, you have the politics of Hollywood. And you think of Oscar night and the cameras panning around the room to all the famous people, the rock stars of the film and theater and directing and all the people involved in the Hollywood magic. And what should be magic, because we have the greatest political system in the world, it's just broken. State of the Union address is similar to that, because you have so many people who don't agree on a lot of things in the room at one time, and then a smattering of other people, including the Supreme Court justices. And that's what you see, the pan of the camera on people's faces. And then the people who get up, you know, like Hillary Clinton is there, and the Secretary of State, and Eric Holder is there as the man behind justice, as the Attorney General. And, you know, the who's who of politics, both on the Democratic side and allies of the current presidents, and those who would like to see him not get elected to a second term. There are a lot of questions that we could attack, a lot of different angles in looking at a State of the Union address, including the fact that some of what we heard is things that we've heard before. As I said, the president, and all of you know this as well, he's a very good campaigner. In fact, I would say the thing that he does best is campaign, and the other thing that he does well is give a speech. So he gave a speech. He gave that hope and change speech only as the prez this time around. So some of what we heard, things that we've heard before in other State of the Union addresses, and ultimately in looking at this, because when I was watching it, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to watch and kind of throw down random thoughts as I move along. And right away, out of the gate, the president mentioned Iraq, talked about getting bin Laden. That happened in the first couple of minutes. Talked about the GI Bill and how important that was, and that there's no challenge that's more urgent, no debate bigger to Americans that are just barely getting by, but to get everybody back to work, and that everybody needs to play by the same set of rules. And what's at stake is not Republican or Democratic values, but American values. He talked about banks making huge bets and then taking huge bonuses. He says 6 months before he took office, 4 million jobs were lost. Now 3 million have been created. Of course, upon a fact check, you find different numbers there. He talked about American manufacturers hiring again. He said the auto industry is back in Detroit, so it could happen in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Raleigh. For the first time in 15 years, he gave the example, Master Lock, running full capacity in Milwaukee. Then he talked about if you want to outsource jobs, you shouldn't get a tax deduction for doing it. Breaks for making your products here in the United States, that's what we should be looking at. And he said, my message is that it's time to stop rewarding companies that ship jobs overseas and start rewarding companies that hire people in the U.S. Some of what the president says is what you also hear when Republicans are talking about having more manufacturing jobs come back, and then that goes through the tax code and the tax code for corporations, which is 35%. And corporations say if it was 25%, they wouldn't be losing that money and they would come back. And there is part of the divide between the Republicans and the Democrats. So did people hold hands and sing Kumbaya? No. But was that expected? Absolutely not. Was there a lot of defending? Certainly. There was a lot of talk about tax, 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 talking about the country needing to prosper, talking about giving everybody a chance, talking about everything except for addressing the $16 trillion debt. He didn't really tackle that too well. He danced around it, talking about challenges that we're facing, because on the scorecard side of things, the deficit wouldn't fall in favor of the president. Certainly not. Even though he's not responsible for all of it, he's responsible for a big chunk and a fast-moving growth of it, because not cutting the spending was certainly part of what this administration, at least the first term, will be known for. Hey, coming up on the flip side, Made in America, then after that, we're going to take your calls. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Oh, time for another Made in America, my favorite segment. Right now we've got an owner of a clothing company, a clothing enterprise, Bruns Enterprises. It's Bruns Clothing, and he started this thing over a year and a half ago, and I'm just betting in 5 years you just wait to see how big this is. Lee is in the wings, ready to talk to us. Lee, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for giving me a call. This is really an honor to speak with you, Kate.
So let's roll back time a little bit and tell me how long you had been thinking about doing your own deal, doing your own company.
Well, I had a formal business education about 20 years ago that I hadn't done a thing with, and I was doing okay as a machinist, but I went to replace my Carhartt work jacket and couldn't find one anywhere on the shelves here in Watertown, South Dakota, made in the U.S. So about 6 months of it stewing and wearing on me and really frustrating that I couldn't find an American-made product here in the U.S., I found some friends and we put together a business plan with Larry and Tammy Henman. And they had the equipment and we got rolling. So we've got four employees. We try to employ stay-at-home moms, so when their kids are at school, they come in and work. And then Mary Beth, she's retired and just wants to keep busy, so they're able to set works hours that work for them. And rather than employ 12-year-old children in Indonesia, we're employing Americans here in South Dakota.
Yeah, bravo. And you started with something, am I right, duck cloth was huge.
Yeah, it's a 10-ounce duck cloth, so it sheds water fairly well. We don't market it as waterproof. But it sheds water like a duck when it's fresh, and with a hit from a silicon spray after washings, it brings back its water repellency real nice.
And you know, of course, and you made the comment to as much, that if you did this overseas, it'd be a lot cheaper for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think I could sleep at night. One of the things when we're putting together the business model, we had to realize that with a traditional business model, they've got a markup from the importer to the distributor, from the distributor to the retailer, from the retailer to the customer. We had to figure out a way to eliminate as many of those markup steps as possible so we could have a competitively priced product. So instead of a storefront, we're working the internet, and we've done very well so far just using the online sales format.
Well, how have you, I mean, obviously when you do an interview like this one, that gets some of the word out, but how else have you been able to market yourself? Is it partially because the internet is such an open highway, and is it also partially word of mouth because of the quality?
It's the quality, and then we've also found the motorcycle riders, specifically the custom motorcycle builders. They really want American-made products, and their loyalty, and they're very eager to share with their friends. So at this point, one out of every five of our sales is actually a repeat customer. So my friends from the Horseback Street Choppers magazine and all the guys in the custom motorcycle world, they were the first to jump on board and give us a try, and it's really grown from there. And once those initial jackets went out and they got a chance to try them out, it's really taken off.
You mentioned that you couldn't sleep if you had done that, if you had shifted in a different direction, because it was all about that pride, made in America. And I bet the employees, and you even mentioned them by name, I bet they feel that same sense of pride, do they?
Yeah, and it's nice not just to be able to say it's made in the U.S., but it's made right here in Watertown. And I'm a little bit scared for the future of the country as all these American dollars are leaving the country. If we can figure out ways just to keep them circulating within our borders, everyone benefits many times over. The trucking company that brings our big spool of cloth from the Twin Cities over here to Watertown, the other truck that brings it from the mills in the Carolinas, the zipper companies in the Carolinas where our snaps and our zippers are made. So all of our materials as well as the logistics of getting it here and shipped back out. Even the cardboard boxes we use when we're not using secondhand boxes are made here in Watertown, South Dakota. So we're trying to keep not just the manufacturing and the retailing here in the U.S., but all of the supplies and materials and logistics in the U.S. also.
Yeah, you talk about the duck cloth and how well that works and the popularity of that. Is it the basic, when you look at the, you know, I've looked at the website, it's just gorgeous stuff, the jacket, the corduroy collar, all that kind of stuff. How did you design it because you talked to people that rode motorcycles, people that lived in cold weather, like in Watertown,
well,
like in South Dakota?
Everyone has gotten so accustomed to buying a jacket one size larger than they needed simply because the sizing wasn't fit for Americans. So that was a little frustrating. And then being able to say, hey, a tall, thin guy doesn't, he wants the longer sleeves, but he doesn't need to buy a 3X just to get the sleeves that long. So by not carrying an inventory, we make each jacket to order. Someone can come in and say, I'd like 3 inches taller on the waist on a large body, 3 inches longer on the arms, and a tall, thin guy can get a jacket that fits him for a change.
Yeah.
And we've had some guys, as my buddy Leroy down in Iowa, he said, I got fat. My arms didn't get any longer. so he has us make a 2-inch under length on the arm so that it fits him.
Yeah. Do you find that, because you're talking about online, do you find naturally, you mentioned this, the loyal 1 out of 5, they come back, and a lot of people in South Dakota and a lot of people right in your own neck of the woods, but obviously, outside, you're also expanding. You mentioned this, the Leroy in Iowa. Are you finding that more people in the Midwest and the Northeast? I mean, what's your clientele besides in your own backyard?
A lot go to Florida and California. The guys in California, they prefer a fleece lining rather than the quilted lining because it seems all the jackets they're able to pick up have a 6-ounce or even an 8-ounce quilt, and they're cooking. They're just roasting. So they want a winter jacket that still isn't so warm as we'd want here in the Midwest. And some of our customers in Norway, we've been shipping a lot of jackets to Norway, of all places, and they're tired of giving money to the Chinese. So they're looking for American products in Norway, the Netherlands, and England also.
Yeah. When you started the company, how to get it off the ground, because you mentioned a couple of you getting together, did it cost you a lot of money to pull this together? Because that's what people are thinking when they're thinking, boy, I have this idea just like Lee does, but I'm afraid to take that leap. Ooh, how much money am I going to need to start this?
We actually did it very, very inexpensively. I got a friend who built the website, and he was willing to work for a kickback off each sale. And then Larry and Tammy already owned the sewing machines, and they're just sitting there idle. So we're able to put existing equipment to work. And then let's say if someone's got a home, they're making something in their garage, they're making some parts, being able to get that that product in front of the customers on the internet made all the difference in the world. But no, it was very little out of pocket for us from the start. We had to pick up some bookkeeping software and a fresh computer. But these are a lot of things most people already have. Start small and grow, and try not. I'm not sticking my neck out. You know, I need to be able to know that if it doesn't work, we're not bankrupt. But we're going to do everything we can to make a go of it.
Yeah. Where do you hope, because this is still in the infancy, I mean, sort of, you know, a year and a half, is that right, how long you've been open?
Yep, year and a half, yep.
Where do you hope that this ends up? I mean, what are you looking for, that you can hire more people, it gets bigger? What's the goal?
Well, right now we've got Haley, Tammy, and Mary Beth, and Amber, who are back between the cutting, the stitching, the embroidery. It'd be nice if we could actually have one person full-time on each of the machines, so we could staff eight people full-time, and that would be nice. But it's also good, too, to be able to create jobs where retired people and the working stay-at-home moms can come in after their kids are at school and put in a few hours at their convenience if they've got a sick kid. So it's nice being able to create quality jobs for people that that need something to do for a few extra dollars to kind of help ends meet. So it's a quality of job, not just quantity of job. And I am in touch with some people at a major national retail outlet in the farm and home business, and hopefully we can work out a deal there and we can actually start offering an American-made work jacket off the store shelves of some of the farm and home stores.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What happens if the company gets really big, and LB, you know how tempting that is. Somebody comes to you, they want to scoop it up, but they're going to make some shortcuts and use some product from other areas. Would you jump? Would you take the bait?
No, that's actually already been, we already got contacted by a larger business that said, hey, why don't you just let us make them for you, and we'll just stick your neck tag on them and drop ship, and, you know, you'll just put the money in your pocket. No, that would just be real short-sighted, and it just wouldn't be the right thing to do. And I guess it's really as simple as that. It's just not the right thing to do. I'd rather stay here in South Dakota and make a quality product here in South Dakota. And one advantage South Dakota is always going to have is we don't have a lot of overhead. We don't have our wages are very competitive wages. So I don't see a way for anyone to make me an offer that could possibly get me to sell it out. And, you know, I know instantly if we ever got bought up, they would start using imported products right off the gate. That's just how it works.
Yeah, that is how it works. Yeah, good for you. So if somebody wants to check out your website, send them to it. What's the website?
Just brunsclothing.com, and they can just fill out an order from there and mail it to me, or we've got the PayPal set up ready to go that way.
Yeah, terrific. I love it. Another made in America. Lee Brum, we're going to keep an eye on you and see where you end up. Thanks so much for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thanks again.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America tonight. Well, the president had his third State of the Union address, and boy, it was interesting, filled with all kinds of stuff that we're going to be talking about here on America tonight. John Christopher Bua joins us now, and what a resume this guy has. It would take a half an hour to go through it for you, but let's just tell you that he's a White House commentator and political analyst for Sky News. You can also catch him on Huffington Post. And, oh, by the way, he's an adjunct professor at Georgetown University, one of my favorite places. And his resume when it comes to politics is so long. He's been in the game for a very, very long time and has watched many State of the Union addresses. John Christopher, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, you know, I think this is a completely different one. I remember when James K. Polk gave his inaugural, my first one as a young man. And then I remember Grover Cleveland I'm only kidding. You make me sound like an old guy. Well,
I didn't mean that.
I go back a little bit to JFK, I guess, is the first president I had passion about. And of course, over the years, you come and go and you lose passion, you get passion. And Bill Clinton sort of got me going again. And I have to say, I thought it was a very good address. I thought it was a clear message to the both sides of the House. The attending folks, and he pretty much laid the gauntlet down, threw the gauntlet down to the Republicans in Congress that you better darn work with me because the American people are watching carefully, and, you know, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. And I think he needed to do that. I think he has to do that. This is an election year, and he's got, you know, some rather radical folks trying to take his job. People on the other side are moving very much to the right of center, and their problem is going to be to try to move back to the center at all, if they can at all. It seems like Mitt is being pushed further to the right by Newt and by the other folks that were, some of them not even around anymore. It's going to be very interesting. And I think the president and his team are trying to gear up to make sure that the issues of the economy, the issues of jobs are those that are front and center. And I think he did that. I think there were spurts of passion and I think, he's got a pretty clear message out. I would have liked to have seen him, a little more as he was toward the end, with a little more, you know, real, I like the campaign stuff that Barack does. And let's face it, we are in a campaign mode. But I have to give the Republicans credit. I was to a State of the Union myself during the Clinton administration, and we've watched, as you have, many, and you watch the opposition just sit there on their hands. You know,
yeah.
They don't get up. They're told not to get up. But I thought, especially when it came to, you know, the military and the service, our veterans and our active duty service, the men and women, they got up, they applauded, and some of the things that he said that were appealing in terms of getting this economy rolling, I think that was successful. We'll see. He leaves on a bus tour for 3 days, interestingly enough, to the key states that will be playing in his campaign, and he'll move on for the rest of the week. So, you know, there's always a follow-up to the State of the Union.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that obviously, and you mentioned it, some of the themes kind of, that there's going to be this push for new taxes for the millionaires, talking about the haves and the have-nots. A lot of what he said had to revolve around that, whether it was tuition and not affording tuition or jobs and incentives for companies that stay here on these shores, that kind of thing. And specifically he said, and let me ask you, this is where he talked about, for anyone who's making over $1 million, paying 30%, and that's obviously something that's going to whip up the Republicans.
Well, you know, I don't know about other folks, but in this household, we pay a lot more than 14% tax.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I know there are folks all over this country, and you know, families struggling, making, you know, 40 grand for having two kids, who pay more than 14% tax. And I think the American people will see that, and this president pretty much in a very, very smart way, I mean, in a clever way, I guess, you know, made it clear that, you know, hey, he says, I'm not paying enough taxes. I'd pay more taxes if I thought it would help the deficit, if I thought it would give people a leg up. I mean, that's the theme he's presenting. It is a populist theme, but after all, he's this White House, and you know, I've pretty much been there quite a bit. They are thinking that Mitt Romney is going to be the challenger, so they're laying out the game plan to go after that and continue the theme of the overprivileged individuals who are getting away with a lot more than the guy and gal who are really, you know, working real hard to support their family and to provide a decent living for their kids, and not only their kids, but, you know, the seniors that may live with them, the mother or the dad or extended family. And I think he pretty much laid that out. But the thing that that people may be missing, and now if you want to get into a little bit of politics, I mean, we're talking Florida in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, I just came back from Charleston, South Carolina, and I was in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Des Moines, Iowa. Bing, bing, bing. I think I had 2 days rest between, but you know, that's what keeps me having fun, right? And
yeah.
As you and I, we chatted in Manchester about a week and a half ago. And the idea that Florida, who could ever imagine that Florida would now become the battleground state between Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich? I mean, this is a whole other story. This is an amazing story, and certainly worth focusing on in the next couple of days.
Oh, absolutely. And you said it. You that the Obama folks are really zeroing in on Mitt Romney. But wait a second. We've seen now what's going on with Newt Gingrich. You look at the polls. You were just in South Carolina. You saw what happened there. He has the super PAC launching the $6 million ad campaign. Is there a chance, do you think, Gingrich has a real shot at overtaking Romney and getting this thing?
I think the disposition and the feeling that some folks have in this country who are very discontent, not only with the economy, but also with some of the what they feel political correctness is permeating. I think Newt, in a sense, gives them a license to basically say, hey, heck with this. Let's have who we want. Let's say what we want. And by God, let's get rid of Barack Obama. I mean, a lot of folks just don't like him, and they can't believe that he was actually elected. So they're pushing hard, and Newt really ignites a very populist theme, completely the opposite of Mitt Romney. You know, some of my Texas friends said Mitt doesn't have a blue collar in his closet. Newt, for some reason, and we all know the kind of monies he's made and the kind of insider, Washington insider. My God, he was Speaker of the House. He had to leave for certain reasons, but he is as inside as you can get in this town and in this country. And he's trying to show himself as a populist outsider. Now, he's very clever. He's a ringmaster. He's a great manipulator of the media. And I think, what we'll see is that a lot of money from the super PACs will be poured into the state of Florida. And I did my last blog was about Newt. Yeah, it's Newt's blowout. However, can he sustain? Can he continue? And that's on my Washington Notebook blog on SkyNews.com. The fact is that the both super PACs now Romney offers a very strong and very deep campaign with really good people. I mean, you saw the list of people that work for him.
Oh yeah,
very impressive, very deep, very well oiled, and lots of dough. And then he's got his super PAC, which is called the Restore Our Future, which has a heck of a lot of money being poured in for third party because they know nothing about it. They can't talk about it. They don't talk about it. You know, it's kind of crazy thing. The whole, and Newt has his own super PAC, which is called Winning Our Future. And that is supported by two very wealthy Vegas, very lovely Vegas couple called the Adelsons, and they are just writing checks for old Newt. So it's got what's going on, Kate, is really when I was in Iowa, I felt like the whole handshaking, press the flesh, go to the diner, you know, go to the
yeah,
various places, meet the people. That's kind of over. They're kind of like, in a sense, phoning it in. They're throwing all that money. The ad buys are incredible. The amount of money spent on TV commercials are TV and radio it's unbelievable. And I think that eventually Iowa, I mean, I love Iowans. We had a great time. We had so many wonderful guests, including Governor Terry Branstad, members of Congress on Sky News. They were fantastic. Great stuff, great debates, great conversation. But we're really losing the idea of retail politics in the caucus state of Iowa and then in the first primary state of New Hampshire because of this super PAC. And this is the whole Citizens United thing where the Supreme Court is allowing, you know, outside entities to pour in oodles and tons mm-hmm. of cash just to do commercials. And it really takes away the retail politics that you and I, as mm-hmm. people who love politics, mm-hmm. have come to love and really enjoy.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Now, there's no rest for the weary. Where are you off to next? Are you going to stay saddled in Washington for a little?
Well, I'm going to probably go to the White House this week, although the president's taking off for a three-day tour. I've got my Georgetown class tomorrow, which I'm preparing for. I have a wonderful group at the School of Foreign Service. I'll be talking about, guess what, politics and American politics and European politics, and certainly the State of the Union, the two debates this week, and the elections will be front and center tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I'm heading down to Florida. I think we'll probably go either to Orlando or to Tampa. We'll stay in that I-4 corridor, and we'll be doing lots of interviews and commentary from there. And Sky News is taking this very seriously because we've got 90 million subscribers worldwide, and what happens in America affects the entire universe, let's face it. So we may be a foreign outlet in a sense, but we're seen all over the world, and we really, really focus on what's going on here.
Yeah, I love it. John Christopher Fewitt, thanks so much. I know you're busy. We appreciate the time. We'll check you out on Sky and hope to have our paths cross again soon.
I look forward to it anytime. Thank you.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with a revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
This weekend, the best of the AFC and NFC go head-to-head. More on the warm-up act for the greatest game in sports next with me, the Sports Princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Tombstone Pizza. With multiple varieties to choose from, there's a Tombstone Pizza that's sure to please your family. What do you want on your tombstone? Family dinner is important, but who says it has to be at the table? When life gets busy and the pressure is on, pull out the good paper plates and settle in for pizza and a movie. It's fun, easy, and memorable for the whole family. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The first All-Star game in pro football took place when the so-called superstars of the sport hit the gridiron in 1939 in L.A. Just a few years later, the game was suspended because of World War II, but was charged up again in 1951. What's interesting is the game was held all over the country, but from 1980 until 2009, everybody headed to Hawaii. In 2010, the Pro Bowl was played in Miami the week before the Super Bowl. Both took place at Sun Life Stadium. While the new tradition of playing the game in between the Super Bowl instead of at the end of the season has stuck, one thing has changed. The location has shifted back to Hawaii, where the rosters are made up of players chosen by other players, coaches, and fans. Some say the fan voting is bogus because the big market teams get the majority of players on the field. But fair or foul, it's a good bet football fanatics will be tuned in. So get out the macadamia nuts, kick back, and enjoy. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Of a different sort, the political kind, on display in Washington, D.C. at the final State of the Union address for President Barack Obama for this term? Should he be elected again? There would be others in his future. Should one of the Republicans take his spot at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Well, you know the rest of that story, right? I thought one of the high moments that everybody would agree upon, because I don't want it to be all negative, right? I'm a glasses half full person. I'm desperately trying to look for the positives in things political, is the fact that Gabrielle Giffords was there on the floor. It was pretty emotional. She had a big hug with the president, and it lasted for a while. And, you know, everybody, no matter who they were, the most hardened political foe of the president's, everybody was, you know, clapping for that, of course, because this is the end of the road for her when it comes to Congress, at least now. She's stepping aside, and ultimately they'll hold an election for her seat in the House, and that leaves one term. I think it's until 2013. Yeah, 2013, and then her time would be up, and you see what happens there with that, with Giffords' seat, but somebody else will take it over, which makes sense because of the long recovery process and just how well she's done, but how much further she has to go at this point. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, I was thinking this, watching her husband, Mark Kelly, who I like, I think of what he's done for the country, serving in the Navy and then becoming an astronaut and so in love with the process of space exploration, and his brother also part of the NASA crew in the space shuttle days. I wouldn't be surprised if Kelly ended up maybe doing something in politics. He hasn't said that in any of the interviews they've done, but it wouldn't be completely out of the question, I think. All right, I wanted to sum up what we've been talking about with the politics and the Democrats and the Republicans and the vast divide between them. Nothing would, I think, bridge this gap in the speech that we heard out of Washington on Tuesday. Obama is doing an in-your-face Congress, challenging them to do something now, to get something on his desk, talking about fair share and everybody playing by the same sets of rules. The one quote that I would take out of everything he said is, what's at stake aren't Democratic values or Republican values, but American values, and we have to reclaim them. But there were some definite things that he danced around. One was health care, mentioned a few times here and there, but not really smashed head on. That wasn't spoken about a lot, and I think that was on purpose because of the Supreme Court challenge and just laying it out there, but trying to downplay it, if you will. And the other thing is the fact that we're in this bloody debt that is crippling us because we keep spending as a way to get out of problems. It's like the person with the credit card that is paying for their electricity over and over again, or their mortgage with credit cards, and eventually the bill comes due. We know we're way past that time because it's up to $16 trillion, almost $17 trillion, and there was nothing brought up about that, nothing at all. And so the circumstances, the dire circumstances that we're in because of the debt, that was ignored. Most of the speech was promises, promises, promises from the government, what the government's going to do for the people. There were a couple of moments that I think in the speech that Democrats and Republicans would probably agree upon, and one of them was the education system. Now, the way to fix what's going on in this country, I think there would still be a vast divide. Nobody's going to argue that we should just be a nation of test takers, and that's what the kids should do, memorize, memorize, and then they don't know crap. I don't think that any Republican or Democrat would say, well, that's absolutely the right way to go. But the unions versus not having the teachers' union, that being part of the problem because they're not willing to give in a lot of cases. New Jersey's a great example of that. So I think there would be a wide disparity between the two parties and what they would do to solve the educational woes. Except for that, who's going to argue with a bad teacher needs to go? That was one of the things he said. Better teachers, impassioned teachers, and then somebody who's not doing a good job, they shouldn't be in place. Well, that's going against the union, obviously, when you think of all the protections that are in place for the teachers in some cases, depending on how strong the union is in whatever particular state it is. It's a 65-minute speech, by the way. And he started the speech really heaping praise on U.S. troops. Again, no one's going to argue with that. Of course, applause, applause, applause for anyone who's worn the uniform in the past and in the present, talking about teamwork and how the military could actually be a model for what's happening with our country's problems. Lowering corporate taxes, incentives for manufacturers to bring overseas jobs back to America, ending tax breaks for businesses that continue to outsource. That was also at the heart of what Obama talked about. Now, this State of the Union address is going to be dissected over the next couple of days. And with the Republicans, of course, in the middle of this, trying to whittle it down to one person, but I don't think that's going to happen overnight. In the move to the primary in Florida, it'll be addressed then. The president moves on to his own campaigning, which I think he started in the State of the Union address, with a three-day swing through some key election states after, you know, talking, after speaking before a joint sitting of Congress on Tuesday, talking about priorities for the coming year. And I think really you saw his campaign message for the re-election bid in November, without a doubt. It's about the money. It's about the rich versus the poor. That's going to be the focus through for the next months through the summer and ultimately all the way up to the Democratic National Convention. And it's also going to be, and it already is, what the Republicans are talking about. So how about that? A couple of other things happened that I wanted to throw out before we skedaddled from this hour. Quickly, I'll rifle through some. One, we were talking about the Italian cruise liner, and they're still finding bodies. They're still looking for bodies. They're hoping to pump out the fuel by Saturday because then there was worry of destroying the environment in that beautiful area of water in the Tuscany area. So that's going to happen. I mean, that's, talk about a saga, that's not going to end anytime soon. We saw that there was a massive tornado that ripped through Birmingham, Alabama, and really decimated a lot of areas. Luckily, we weren't talking about loss of lives so much as neighborhoods. We can all relate to that. If these tornadoes, these shots, this is radio, but just picture your house without a roof, without two sides, and basically just a front door. I saw several homes that looked that way. I mean, there was nothing there. It was matchsticks. That's what it was. And it's really by the grace of God that more people weren't killed. Just two people reported dead. Three tornadoes touching down in Alabama on Monday. Man, and we're talking like 150-mile-an-hour winds. 211 homes so far have been reported damaged. And that's in, damaged in one area. And then another 218 in another county. Clay, Alabama got slammed pretty hard. Birmingham got slammed too. Good news, thank goodness, that there weren't too many people that were killed this time around when Mother Nature threw down her wrath.